Welcome back to yet another episode of Crazy for Swayze. I'm Vince Troia, joined as always by my co-host Josh Young. Josh, how are you doing today?
I'm hyped by the new theme song.
That new theme song is here because we have decided to rewatch The Renegades. Not just rewatch it, but episode by episode, exposing our friends to it in playing our favorite game. Did we have to see the other ones? Guess who's here with us today, Josh?
I couldn't possibly guess.
Madison's back! Madison is here with us to watch episode 6 of The Renegades, Target Marciano.
Madison. Is he one of the cops?
Yeah.
Marciano?
Yeah, he's like their boss.
Okay.
Madison, do you know anything about this show?
I mean, I seen the trailer, and they all look like some sexy guys.
Oh, it's so 80s.
No, I'm stoked to see, like, Patrick Swayze's little origin story.
Yeah, so it's like, the vibe of this show is that it's kind of like a 21 Jump Street, you know? But all of these people are clearly in their 30s.
Well, that's 21 Jump Street, isn't it?
Is that?
I don't know.
I thought they were supposed to look like they were kids. Like, they were supposed to be like the young beat of cops, you know?
No, I like all their names, too. Like, there's Dragon.
Yeah. And Dancer.
Dancer's my favorite.
Yeah, no, it's fucking sick. Josh has been very vocal about loving Dancer. I like Bandit and Eagle, and JT seems pretty cool every once in a while too, right? But we've always brought up the fact that Tracy, the token woman on the team,
her real name's Tracy.
She doesn't get a thing, and that's her actual name.
No,
yeah.
I know. I seen that. Yeah. I was like, all right.
No, 100%.
Maybe she traces.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe that's her deal.
I've got no idea. But Tracy also was on Lois and Clark, so we've got a tie to the DC universe now.
Perfect.
Yeah, she played somebody named Cat Grant. She was also in Babylon 5 and Star Trek as well.
Cat Grant owns the newspaper.
Oh, yeah?
Not the Daily Planet.
The other one?
Yeah. I mean, I only know this from Supergirl.
Oh. Well, hey, you know, thank you for having a light into that world, because I wouldn't know as well at all.
Catco. You gotta have Catco.
Yeah?
You'd think that they'd sell something that isn't newspapers.
Yeah?
Like cats, maybe.
Like cats?
Yeah, you can buy one.
Well, this cast, like we've mentioned, is very diverse, very all over the place, right? We've got Patrick Swayze, obviously, playing Bandit. He's our top build renegade, right?
Bandit's dog's name.
Yeah, it is. Then we have Randy Brooks playing Eagle, and Randy Brooks was in Reservoir Dogs as Holdaway, one of the police officers. Or he was, chilling with, what's his name? Tim Roth.
Mm.
Yeah, he was that police officer, chilling with Tim Roth. We've got Paul Mones, that plays JT. He was in Josh's favorite Jean-Claude Van Damme movie, Double Team.
That's it.
Tracy was in, like I said, Star Trek. We've got Brian Tochi playing Dragon. He was Leonardo. He was in the suit of Leonardo.
That's actually fucking
cool. In Ninja Turtles.
Oh, that's so cool.
We got Fausto Barbera playing Groucho. He's dead, but he was in Quantum Leap. And our boy Kurtwood Smith is playing Captain Scanlon.
Captain
Scanlon. Mr. Clarence Boddicker. Yeah, you know. Everybody else is dudes and guys and stuff and things.
And whatnots.
Yeah. So the episode that we're watching, right? Target Marciano. Oh, shit. Kane Hodder's in this episode.
Who's that?
Kane Hodder's Jason.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
He's cool as shit. Yeah. He also played Leatherface in this newest Texas Chainsaw Massacre that came out in 2023.
God, he's still doing it, huh?
He's still being imposing and large. He was in Demolition Man, too, man.
I feel like he's really helping us out here.
He's a dude. He's a guy. He's a man.
Yeah, add him to the board.
But we picked this episode for Madison because it involves some of the members of the team going undercover as a band, and specifically a punk band. I don't know. I think they're a little bit harder than Blondie, you know? Like, it was kind of surprising, and I'm excited to hear your opinion on
how
this band.
I'm honestly super stoked.
Yeah, this band and how it turns out and shit like that.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Just,
you know, my eyes were caught by these notes that I can see here. You've spelled Papa John differently than I have in your notes.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I spelled it like Papa John. P-A-P-A. You spelled it P-O-P-P-A. Papa.
Papa. Yeah. I mean, that's what happens.
Love Papa John.
I forget how it's spelled. I think it's actually spelled P-O-P-P-A in the credits.
Probably.
Because he's actually, as Jonathan, Papa John in Next of Kin. Yeah.
Yeah. Love that movie.
Yeah. That movie is sick. That's why we've watched it multiple times now.
Mm-hmm.
You ever heard of Next of Kin?
No, I have not.
Oh, it's the best. It's like it's a vengeance movie. It's got Liam Neeson and Bill Paxton and Ben Stiller and who else?
Papa John.
Papa John. Papa John was also in another movie we watched.
No way.
Yeah, we just watched it too. It's fucking killing me. It's on the tip of tongue, teeth, and lips, but I don't have it right now. I'll get back to you after we come back from this break. Love it.
How could you not?
Dude, Madison, how did you feel about the Renegades?
To be honest, I don't even fully know.
What?
How I felt about all of that. I mean, it was also a very old TV show, but for one, half my notes is just Bandit fucks. One of them's JT kind of sucks. And let's see.
JT does kind of suck.
What about Eagle?
I mean, I really liked his red leather pants.
Dude,
I'm trying to think what he said. He said something about, oh, they were born on the block. Like,
oh, that's
when
what
he
was.
Said that shit. I was like, okay, go off.
Yeah. No, man.
Marciano's head is on the block. We were born on the block. Oh, it was so hard.
Different kind of blocks.
Oh, he also had some very interesting dance moves.
Oh my God!
His seizure around? Or dance moves?
Yes, his stage fright dancing.
Oh, I loved it.
Because who was it that was expressing their stage fright? Like, was it JT or was it Dancer that was like, "Oh, I'm very nervous to go on stage. I've never played." They were all clearly nervous.
Yeah, they were all kind of. Yeah,
their first show's a battle of the bands, as it should be.
Really?
They had to sell tickets, right?
I don't think they sold any tickets to that Battle of the Bands. Won?
Yeah, they won because they sold the most tickets. The cops just bought all the tickets and didn't show up, right?
I would assume. Well, I mean,
it's part of their budget.
Gaucho.
Wasn't
and
their talent?
No, that's not how you win a Battle of the Bands. You sell the most tickets and then you get to play the next show, which is apparently your boss's execution, which is pretty cool.
Dude, all right.
They didn't sell enough tickets to that one because there's nobody there.
So when we played these Battle of Bands in high school, right?
Yeah.
It was set up by this one production company that gave us all like 50 tickets ahead of time. And it very much came out to be whoever sold the most tickets at the end of the day would be crowned the winner of the Battle of the Bands.
Dude, that's such a scam. Like, that is predatory. Now I understand. Earlier you were like, oh, very predatory, yes.
But then you, like, go and play a show with the other winners of the other Battle of the Bands.
So then it's just one giant championship show.
But, like, they don't actually, like, crown somebody at the end of the second show. It's just, like, a show. But there's not, like, any draw for the show. It's just like, hey, we give you more tickets.
So, like... Yeah. If I had rich ass parents and my band sucked, was really bad, if my parents just brought all the tickets, I win.
Well, maybe.
I remember one time the prize was recording time. So if you have just rich parents, just have them pay for recording time.
No, true that. You don't even gotta go through this.
Dude, I have a live recording of a ska band I played in, or of two ska bands I played in high school from the Clutch Cargos.
From winning?
No, we did not win. we were ska bands.
Well, yeah, but that means that there's seven people to sell tickets to all of their parents.
That's correct.
And some of their cousins. Dude, I saw a ska band the other night. They were good as hell. They had nine people in the band. And I was like, I missed that. I used to think it was fucking corny. Like, you know, you're the ska band. You got nine people on stage, but it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's stupid, but it's cool.
I don't know. I think you're being nostalgic, bro.
I was nostalgic.
Nostalgic. Holy shit, bro. What? Dude, I don't know. I throw on some ska bands every once in a while, but I don't know if I could, if my body could take playing in a ska band again.
Oh yeah, but Ben, you should have seen these nine guys and gals playing ska music. They were just playing the hits.
Well, I mean, I would assume, like, if you're a ska band, what else do you do? That's like you are the cover machine.
I think I missed Keysby Nights though.
Oh, did they start with that one?
I think they did, which is wild. How can you start with Keysby Nights? That's when everyone gets on the stage.
I don't know. Do you have any experience with ska, Madison?
You know, like, not really.
Not really?
Like, I mean, kind of, but it was something that I never got, like, really into. Like,
I feel you.
Like, off the top of my head, I'm not like, oh, yeah. Like, yeah. I don't know.
Like, does it make you think of mozzarella sticks?
No.
Oh, really? Dude, what is... Okay, all right. When you think of ska music, what do you think of, Josh?
Real Big Fish.
Yeah?
Sell out. With me, oh, yeah.
I feel that. When I think of ska music, I immediately think of covers. Like, because that was one thing that I experienced in the ska scene was just very cannibalistic. Like, everybody plays everybody else's songs all the fucking time. Everybody plays Keysby Nights. Everybody loves that song. You don't get to not love it. It's like...
And you must know how to play it.
Yeah, it's part of the agreement. And you have to play it on, like, two instruments.
Yeah, just in case.
Like... It was just one of those things, like, everybody was always just like, oh, and then, like, we always covered 80s songs, so somebody had to do an A-ha cover. And
Real Big Fish has a whole cover album.
Yeah? Yeah?
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Oh, that's the duet All Night Long.
Yes, that's the one.
Oh, so Real Big Fish?
No, there's another one.
Oh, yeah?
That one is covers as well.
Well, Real Big Fish did this split record with Zoloft and the Rock and Roll Destroyer called Duet All Night Long, where they covered just cover songs for all of them. Real Big Fish covers Ask by the Smiths. They cover Lion Ass by Fishbone, and they also cover a song from the Puff the Magic Dragon or something like that.
Okay.
I'm not exactly sure what Zoloft and the Rock and Roll Destroyer covers, but the other two covers all the Real Big Fish ones are amazing. They're great.
Okay.
I think they're really fucking good, and I would recommend that record.
One's called Fame, Fortune, and Fornication. It's all like hair metal shit.
Oh, sweet.
Nothing but a good time. We're all crazy now.
Veronica Sawyer. Okay, so would you consider like Muster Plug and like Operation Ivy like... Ska?
Of course.
Okay, so yeah, okay. I can, Muster that, Plug is super okay, ska. I fuck with that yeah. kind of, especially when I was like younger. So
they
yeah.
played the beer song.
Yeah.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
And according to Fat Mike, Operation Ivy is the definitive ska punk
okay,
band.
Okay, then I was full of shit.
Yeah, so.
Definitive ska punk band for sure. Yeah. That's yeah. definitive ska band.
I forgot
okay,
who
okay, so
was
I guess I'm more like ska punk. I never like just listen to ska.
I was always ska punk too, but this isn't a ska podcast.
I'm not trying to split hairs when it comes to ska either. I think if you are, you know, listening to ska, it's fucking fine. But also, if you're listening to ska, you fucking suck. I hate ska. I love ska. I have a very complicated relationship with ska.
And when's the last time you played your saxophone?
I don't have it anymore.
Aww.
It's been sold.
I just tried to play my trumpet the other day. Didn't work.
Yeah?
Not quite.
But I can still do it.
I feel like back in the day, though, if you could play that, I feel like you'd get a lot of hoes.
Yeah?
Saxophone?
That's what did it? That
gets more like hose? Saxophone. I'm
saxophone.
Sorry.
I agree.
I like these puns y'all are making. You're fucking killing it in the pun game. All right, so this television show.
There was enough guys in their squad to be a ska band.
No, true. Okay, if we bring it back to that, they could have all been in the band.
That's what I'm saying. They should have been a ska band.
All right, so these songs that this band, with the band, it was Blink, Blank what?
Distress.
There it is.
Yes.
Blank distress.
The Satin Coma.
Satin Coma is what Tracy's stage name was.
Satin Coma and the Blank Distress is a good name for a band.
That's a sick band name, yeah.
Blank Distress. Eh.
I'm just, yeah, I don't know. The first time she also said Satin Coma, the way she said it, I was like, what the fuck did she just say?
She sounded like she made up her name on the spot.
No, exactly. Like, I'm Satin Coma. Like, no, like, I don't know. The way she said it, I don't know. That's why I had to re-ask, like, what was her name?
Satin Coma.
I don't know if that's exactly
that's how it was.
I think that we've established on this show, at least, that improvisation is something that is like a tool that police officers that Swayze associates himself with utilize pretty regularly. Mm-hmm. So I was happy she was able to come up with the name and have such a creative name, like especially because she was trying to be like, what was it, Tom Jones and Tony Gunn and
yeah, and then there was like other a people. River Rosie Riviata, and then there's like
so much for a minute, I was like,
all these names are crazy, and then yeah, Satin. Or wait, no, Silver Strider?
Silver Strider.
Yes!
Even though he could have been Silver Striper, just as easy.
He had that skunk haircut. What was that hair? What was it?
He must have kept it going while he was in prison. How do you do that?
Was it a mullet?
I don't know. He kind of looked like... I'm trying to think of the one singer who sings like Hot Legs and like... Try and think what his name is. Here, you can come back to this.
Oh, well.
It'll come
here,
to you.
Let me look it up.
So, like, I think we talked about this last time, though. Was the so the Tony Gunn character?
Yeah,
that's like they're doing a Phil Spector, right?
I would assume
Rod Stewart. You kind of look like Rod Stewart.
Yes, Rod Stewart. That's great the
observation. It's a Rod Stewart haircut, but it's like a skunk. So it's silver in the middle with brown or black on the sides, dark on the sides, right?
And reddish.
And he had this kind of like sequined jacket he would wear. Was it like
yeah,
sequined?
Yeah, it was definitely
or something
bedazzled.
Like it was. He kind of gave me like an Ozzy Osbourne in like in the 80s during the downfall, the decline. Yeah.
Yeah.
He gave me like that kind of vibe.
No, most definitely.
Yeah,
was he scary? I felt
no.
Like he like was trying to be.
He was just kind of like, he kind of just seemed more crazy than anything. Cause one moment he'd be like, yeah, yeah. And then he'd be like, ugh. And then
he was intimidating.
Do you think he was intimidating because he was all over the place, or was it just because like because like he was trying to like posture, and then as soon as he got around Tony kind of like roughed him up?
So the gang gets split up into squads as they always do.
Yeah.
Dragon's job is to go and fuck the nanny
to get a job. Yeah,
it's his job. He's got to go. He's a houseboy. He's got to fuck the lady who's
the money woman.
Clean
right?
And
the money
fuck.
Woman. Yep. That's his job. The other two guys,
Gaucho and Bandit,
Swayze and Gaucho, have to go undercover in the scene and figure shit out. The other four are in a band. So when they show up for their audition, I find Silver Strider to be an intimidating character because he's crazy and scary, but then as soon as he goes back and sees Tony behind the curtain and Tony puts him in his place, he stops being scary.
And so Silver Strider's girlfriend was the one that brought the band to them, like unannounced as well or something like that.
Yeah, and seemed like it.
Then like Tony was gonna fuck her up? Like
Tony
what was with that?
And no. It was all just behind like a shower
curtain where you could they could probably clearly hear them.
Yeah. Like Tony was delivering his lines quietly, but everyone else is yelling.
They're all screaming. Oh, it's so fucking silly.
I also just don't understand Tony's motivation.
No, I don't either. Oh, I mean other than the fact that he wanted to
get revenge for being put in jail.
Yeah, and then also I feel like he was triggered because Tracy, aka Satin Coma, looks like his ex-girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
Right,
mm-hmm.
But okay, so that's another point in the column of cops create all crime. They're like, Tracy, you look a lot like his old girlfriend. Why don't y'all go undercover? And then they triggered him. God.
That's exactly what happened.
They triggered the gun.
That's exactly what happened. And then Tony was like, yeah,
I've got to kill Marciano now. So
he went nuts as soon as he saw her.
I think the Marciano stuff is really funny as well, right? Like,
no, the whole like talking monologue.
He was acting.
Yeah, okay. So like Sorry. Josh was saying, the band won the battle with the band, so they won $100. And then they got promoted to play this execution where Marciano's been on house arrest the entire episode.
Station arrest. He's under protective custody. Yeah,
he's in protective custody. My mistake.
But they're acting like he can't leave the police. He can't leave the hangout.
Yeah.
Clubhouse.
Where the video games and couches are, where all the boys are sleeping later.
Do you think it's in the basement of the police? We talked about this last time as well. Yeah, it's in the basement of the police station.
No, it definitely looks like it. Because even like in the one scene he was on... the phone, it's and like he was talking phone. To his boss. There was like the window in the cop station that he was looking at the like clubhouse or whatever the heck.
Almost feel like it's like they took the old holding cells and they just repurposed the room.
Yeah, that's the deal. I mean, you know,
it's definitely what it's
put in a hot dog vending machine or whatever that thing was. A
couple of glizzies.
Yeah, get some glizzies while you're copping.
All right, so what's the situation with a hot dog vending machine?
Okay.
Tell me like what you think.
It was a cooler. I just thought the word vending machine would be funnier.
Oh, like, because I'm sitting there like, I understand like a coffee machine. They like heat it up. They're like, are they like, is it like a frozen
These
hot
are grown
dog
boys. They're like,
what's this hot dog
doing? Okay, what I'm imagining is that there's like a vat of boiling hot dogs, you know?
Just constantly.
Yeah, constantly. And like, because they're using it constantly, so it's constantly getting refreshed. They have to open it up and change the water like every couple days.
Yeah.
But either way, there's like an arm that comes down and takes the glizzy out of the boiling water and then shoots it into a bun that has been dispensed.
Okay, all right.
And then there's like different condiment squirters and you just boop, 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 boop. You choose your buttons and then the condiments...
It sounds like you've already like made this thing.
Patent pending.
I like it. A glizzy machine.
Yeah.
Next is the glizzy cannon.
Yeah, if you can charge a buck for them, go.
I'm picturing like from Spaceballs, how they've got like Mr. Coffee, the next to the Mr. VCR, and Mr. Glizzy also. It's a hot dog. You're sitting there with a hot dog and a coffee watching your radar. Like, it sounds like so much fun.
Yeah, you just get a fresh hot glizzy any time of day.
So they just didn't break character as the band when Tony Gunn starts screaming at their boss, who is chained to a pulpit.
Yeah.
And getting like judged by Tony
at a roller rink.
At a roller rink that's empty.
But also a stadium.
Yeah.
Because there's stadium seating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's people watching and skating also?
No, there's one person skating and it's one
of
his
goons. Has a gun.
Yeah, oh. She's one of the bandmates. But the black one, as they said. That's what they said.
But so they have them start playing music as Tony starts screaming at Marciano, trying to defend themselves, saying like, "You're guilty." And it's like, "I'm only guilty to you, a wrong person.
You're so wrong, and your psychologist even said so."
Yeah, like,
and that's when Tony
lost his mind.
Right, he slowly begins to break down, and he's like, "What?" And then the music starts playing, and it becomes this like beautiful spoken word thing that Marciano's doing.
Yeah, like between the verses, and they're like fading out visually.
And of course, the song is about the situation.
Yeah,
okay, I wanted to bring that up. That all of these songs were about their undercover mission.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So this band, where did these songs come from? Did they write these songs?
It was generic music.
Yeah.
So I mean, yeah, they wrote the words.
Also, for homeboy to be playing guitar for a week and then shred, I was like, okay, all right.
They make it sound very easy to shred. It took me quite a few years.
But you know, he is the character of Dennis Reynolds. Like, he probably spent the whole week just playing the guitar and like getting really good at shredding.
Wait, hold on. Are you saying that JT is Dennis Reynolds or Dancer is Dennis Reynolds?
Dancer.
Because Dancer was playing bass.
I thought he was playing guitar.
JT was playing guitar.
Oh my God.
Damn, what the hell?
I don't even know the difference.
They looked exactly the same, but JT didn't have eyeliner on.
Or black lipstick.
Because that's what Dancer hit on. And when you kept saying, like, this is what Dennis Reynolds would wear in a punk band, like, no, I agree. Yeah, so I just wanted to confirm.
Yes, we just need to clarify. For all the people who are listening to this podcast for accurate information about the television show The Renegades from 1983. Jesus. They need the accurate information. It's true.
Oh, shit.
$100 is a good prize.
That's a great prize now.
Especially back then. They're like, shit.
Dude.
The bar pays you $100 at the end of the night. You're like, thanks.
Think about that. They probably got free beer also, you know, as a performer, because you get your drink ticket or two. Mm-hmm. And back then, you just would get a case or whatever. Like, they treated their musicians
correctly,
horribly, but like, here, drink a lot.
Like I said, correctly.
But yeah, yeah, I bet with a $100 prize, they're like, oh, just go pay your bar tab, and then everybody can get pizza and fill up your cars and sit and buy groceries. Like,
pizza.
Oh.
P-I-Z-Z.
Yeah, I don't know. I thought it was a great prize.
Marciano did take them out for pizza at the end.
Then they changed it to steaks last minute.
I do think it's worthy of note, since Madison hasn't seen any of the other episodes, Marciano's not usually a giant dick. He's usually like down to clown.
I also feel like, I will say, coming in and watching the last episode, I was a little confused on certain things.
Well, but it's not like the other episodes would have told you anything. It would just give you more context.
The storylines are all kind of like, I just feel like some of it, I'd be like, how did we get here?
Yeah. The whole thing is, how did we get here?
You know how at that one point we got that voice over from JT waxing poetic, seemingly in a diary?
That happens occasionally.
That only started two episodes before this. Okay. He wears a jacket that says The Jesters. It's like a little cutoff jean vest,
I was
whatever.
Trying to read what that was.
That was a gang he went undercover with earlier in the series, and he just keeps wearing the outfit because he thinks it's cool. Like,
yeah, there's like, it's just a little bit of context.
There's only a little bit of things that fold over, but for the most part,
it's just always kind of
like, yeah.
Marciano kind of became the Kurtwood Smith character in this episode. He was an asshole all the time and shit. And then at the end of the episode, we learned that Kurtwood Smith also has a soft spot for the boys when he talks to his bosses. But when he talks to his underlings, he's like, "Fuck these kids, they're not doing anything worthhile."
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes down to it, he's like, "Oh, boss, they're doing something good." He stood up for them. And that's why there's a second season of The Renegades.
No, there isn't.
No, there's not. You're right.
No, there's not.
No, there's not.
Did you have a favorite commercial? Because we didn't mention this before.
Okay, so.
Like all the other episodes, this was taped off of a Houston area broadcast. So we had lots and lots of commercials. I'm counting like 25 or
so. Jesus, there was a lot.
Yeah, and they were all kind of silly. There were quite a few jingles.
I'm just glad that the DVD lady left them in.
Oh, I'm so happy that the DVD lady left them in.
Do you think I should send her an email and be like,
"DVD lady,
yeah, you're officially one of our sponsors. Like, you don't have to pay us anything."
No, send her a message. I'll fucking send her a message if you don't. DVD lady, you're the best. We appreciate you. But yeah, did you have a favorite commercial?
So, I guess the New Era Plus detergent commercial. I think it was interesting that their whole point was like, there's protein in everything, so there's protein in our detergent, so it'll help get it out.
You gotta fight for
including semen. I'm just kidding.
That's basically what they're saying.
That's exactly what they're saying.
Okay. That's what I thought. I was like, I literally wrote down New Era Plus. Is it for cleaning cum?
It has to be.
That never occurred to me.
It has to be. Because they made a huge deal of it. Like, hey, proteins are in everything, so we put proteins in your thing so we can get out of your proteins. It's like, Exhibit made this goddamn soap.
And then the spearmint gum commercial, I found interesting because it just seemed like everyone was on coke. Like, you chew our gum?
Yeah.
You can get anything done.
Keep working. Do the jackhammer.
Yeah. Yeah. Get up in that basket. Go trim that tree. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's good for you.
I will say that the Kuppenheimer soups for $269.
Suits.
Yeah, suits. Excuse me.
I thought you said soups as well.
My mistake. Suit. Suits. Like suit and pants.
If you don't need two suits, bring a friend.
Bring a friend. He's like, you don't need two, bring a friend. Come down here.
But the best part is that, like, okay, so it's the one guy, he's like, we got Kuppenheimer suits. They're good suits, and we'll give you two for one. And then it gives us a mirror image of him on the other side, and the mirror image starts talking. It's two for one. And they never just, like, don't address it.
I liked it a lot. I thought it was really good. It gave me the nostalgia that I felt watching TV as a kid. That specific commercial.
It's a good one. I liked the very first one, which was a Snickers commercial. I still love Snickers marketing.
Yes.
Snickers. It's basically food.
Yeah, you're not you when you're hungry.
Yeah, aren't you hungry?
And there was a horse in that commercial, too.
It was a horse girl who was like, let me tell you about Snickers and how you need it. And I'm like,
I hear that.
That's the first commercial we saw. And I was like, well, I'm going to write that down. I also like the Tron game. That looked pretty fun.
Yeah, no, mm-hmm. that was cool to see.
It's cool to see like tie-in marketing. And then I was like, oh, the Love Boat actually looks good. I was hoping we'd get one for the bird people. What were they called?
Oh,
the Thorn Birds.
The Thorn Birds.
Yeah, we didn't get that. But then there was the final one that I enjoyed was that there's a boxing commercial that was advertising that Cuba was going to fight America.
Oh, yeah, that was the Wild World of Sports.
Yep, and there was a good photo of Fidel Castro just in a commercial. And I was like, you know what? That's nice.
Two things that I wanted to point out because we did raise some flags while we were watching it. There was an Oldsmobile commercial about getting a new car, right?
9.9% financing.
9.9% financing.
Think about it, though. A car was way less expensive back then.
Oh, yeah. That car was the size of three Priuses also. So, like...
But, like, theoretically, like, you're buying it, like, maybe you only have to finance it for 3 years, but you're still paying fucking double what the car's worth.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Bad financing rate. Don't agree to that, people of the world. It's predatory, and they're acting like it's good.
And the last commercial was for the 55th Academy Awards.
Awards?
Oh, yeah. Eddie Murphy said he wanted to be the Beatles of comedy.
Yeah.
That was a good one.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means.
He wants to be shot?
He wants to be British.
Wants to have Yoko Ono.
Liverpool, and he wants to wear like a funny hat.
Do you want to do us with
Murphy,
the Beatles?
The leader of the Beatles.
Of comedy.
I'm Eddie Murphy. I'm the leader of the Beatles.
I'm sort of a John Lennon myself.
But yeah, who won some awards that year, Josh?
Okay. Fucking Gandhi won everything.
Yeah.
Again.
Yeah, fucking Ben Kingsley playing Gandhi. Fucking a British knight playing Gandhi. Can you fucking imagine anything worse than that? Jesus.
Jesus?
Jesus is the only worst thing I can imagine than that. That guy who played Jesus in The Passion of the Christ.
Jim Caviezel?
I heard he's a bad guy.
I've heard he's a bad guy also.
I thought it was Jim Carrey.
What?
I'm just kidding.
Oh, you had me for a second. Speaking of the imagine, Passion of the Christ.
Can you imagine Jim Carrey getting the stakes through his
head? Like, somebody stop me!
Oh, but speaking of Passion of the Christ, I found a Lego Passion of the Christ on Tubi today. Like, holy shit. It's a half hour long. And I was just searching around. I was looking for the Passion of Joan of the Ark. Yeah, I was looking for Passion of Joan of Arc. And I found it was the Passion, and it was a brick film production. There are two other brick films. They're all Bible stories. It's something. Holy shit. I watched a little.
Good.
It was nuts.
Good. Is there a Noah?
Yeah, I think. Oh, there's an Exodus. And I
love that band.
And I think there might be a Noah one also.
They did Lego Darren Aronofsky's Noah. That'd be crazy.
Well, yeah. Like this came out after The Passion of the Christ also. And this also came out after The Last Temptation of Christ too. So like we had
from much earlier.
From much earlier, yeah. So it's like these two prominent stories have already been handled with huge cinematic budgets, right? But this guy's like, we gotta use Legos. This median will definitely translate
to
the target
funny.
Market. And it fucking won me over. I loved it.
No, for sure. He's like, how do we get kids into God?
Honestly, it's genius.
Who doesn't fucking love Legos?
Right, because is it like, does he take it seriously? It seems like he takes it very seriously.
Yeah.
Based on the information I was looking at.
Yeah. It's he takes it very seriously.
So is it like super serious, but they're Legos?
I think so.
Yeah, it's just Legos acting out the story.
It's not silly. It's not like Lego Batman.
Yeah, it's not like Gandalf isn't there. No. But they're doing the Bible stories.
Everything is not awesome.
It's a thing. It's a thing.
Everything is Jesus.
Everything is Jesus.
Damn thing. But yeah.
I liked that ad as well with the Snickers. It made me really happy that there was a horse in it.
There's another commercial with a horse, but I didn't know which one it was.
Was it The Wild World of Sports?
Maybe.
Oh, possibly. There was a Ripley's Believe It or Not commercial. That might have had the horses in it.
I don't know if I saw that one.
Yeah, it was really soon. It was after the Wendy's barbecue bacon cheeseburger one.
Oh,
the,
I was the notating bacon cheeseburger about.
One. I hate the fucking cheeseburger one.
Well, like, yeah, you wanna voice your qualms again,
well, just
Josh?
Just in case no one had listened to our previous episode, I don't think Wendy's could have possibly invented the fucking bacon cheeseburger, and they're acting like they did, and yep. I don't appreciate that.
They're like, what could make a cheeseburger better? Someone's like, bacon. They're like, you got it.
Genius, but I feel like that had to have happened first somewhere where they had bacon already. Wendy's didn't already have bacon.
No, they had to introduce it. They had to introduce a new protein.
How can you sell cheeseburgers but not already have bacon? Like,
just like at your restaurant. I'm saying like Wendy's doesn't already have bacon there. They should burger stuff.
No, I know. I'm just saying they already done fucked up before that though. Because how do you?
Oh yeah, you should already have bacon.
Yeah, it's like
everyone should be ordering bacon. But they got to order all their meat fresh. It's never frozen.
Yeah, and they don't cut corners either.
That's why their burgers are square.
That's why their burgers are square. Yeah. But because we're watching this individually, I want to put some fucking numbers on it, Josh.
We gotta. Oh, before we do that, I need to recognize that those boys, the gang,
yeah,
the whatever, the Renegades,
yeah,
they're deputized.
Yeah.
They're cops.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah, okay.
They are
so
cops.
I wanted to like bring this up even in the beginning, but I forgot. How the fuck did these people even become in this situation?
They were like, it all happens before the show starts. They get in trouble for doing gang stuff.
Okay. Yeah, and then they do one of those like, well, you can either do time or come and work undercover for us.
It's just weird because then they got deputized. Like, I understand working for somebody like as punishment as a confidential informant, but as a deputy?
I don't know. Also, that means they're kind of pussies.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, they're cops.
Yeah, well, they flipped. They can't do the time in jail.
All right, they're less hot now.
Yeah, losers. But Swayze's also like in charge of them. Like he probably cut the deal, and he was like, "Guys, now we're working for the cops." Like, oh, Dad.
He's like, "But we get a clubhouse."
But we got them to install
with the glizzy machine.
Yeah, it's got unlimited glizzies. You guys wouldn't believe it.
I still couldn't believe that the clubhouse is like in the basement of the cop shop, but there's like a bunch of couches and three or four of the boys are like sleeping there at the end of the episode.
Yeah, it just means they don't have to pay rent on a fucking clubhouse, which is nice.
Yeah, I guess.
Major expense when you're a gang. Commercial real estate?
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. You're right, Josh.
All right, I'm comfortable putting numbers on it. What kind of numbers? Do you think about how much I liked it, this particular episode?
Yeah, let's do our individuals, you know. Mm-hmm. We'll obviously rate it on the Swayze scale.
Obviously.
And then let's also consider how it stands with cop shows.
Oh, well, I mean,
you know,
you're just asking me to talk about The Wire.
I know.
Why would you do that?
Let's consider some cop shows we've seen and see how well this one compares.
Okay. Well, on my personal scale for episodes of television, I've got to say, this one was pure insanity. Like, mm-hmm. I honestly loved it. Like, it really made me giggle. I think I'd give it 4 out of 5 stars for an episode of The Renegades.
Dude, hell yeah. All right, so let's just say for an episode of The Renegades, having no context, obviously, judge it however you feel, Madison.
You know, I'll give it like a
3.5.
I also haven't like seen any of the other ones, and that's me just coming out of the like I said, some of the story is the reason why it's getting the 3.5 for me. I think if it was a little bit more played out, it would get a higher number, but the entertainment was definitely there.
It's kind of incomprehensible. Like, yeah. Honestly, it's a fever dream. It's like the
whole
show
exactly.
Is like, what the fuck is happening?
That's a good way to describe it, because then before you know it, they're playing in a fucking roller rink during an execution.
Honestly, like, I don't know if there is a 5 out of 5 episode of The Renegades for me. It may be the case that this is the 5 out of 5 episode, but there's no way to know until we watch all the other ones.
Yep. Yep. You'll never know.
So we'll have to rank them all at the end. Which one's the best? Yeah. Which one's the worst?
Yeah.
Yes. What about you?
I give this one a 4 as well. I think this one's great.
It's awesome.
I love it. I think
so stupid that they're in a band.
I think the songs are the best part because they really are just describing what's happening in the episode, and the fact that they did this in over the course of like a week, so they wrote at least a few songs about their mission, and then we're just telling what they were going to do to the bad guy the entire time.
And he's like, I love it.
Or like, yeah, what his goals were or whatever.
I liked the visuals while they were playing the execution. I loved the fading in and the layering. Oh, it was all great.
Artful.
I loved it. I loved it.
Remember when we watched Heat and I was like, I don't like that the cops have a team, you know? I like that the bad guys have a team, but the cops have a team. In this episode, there's like a bad band and a good band. You know, there's like the cop band and then the criminal band.
Yeah.
That's funny. I thought it was funny. And this thing, for some reason, it was funny to me. Like, why can't the old band be the band?
I don't know.
They get washed up while they were in jail? It's their deal.
I don't understand. And the whole band was hanging out also.
Yeah, they were all there except for the dead one.
Yeah.
Dead one. They're singing. Yeah,
and then even after Swayze reveals himself to be an undercover cop, he just goes to the show.
Oh, immediately.
Yeah, and same clothes.
Dude, he pulled a fucking Johnny Utah.
He looked pretty good.
He didn't announce himself as a cop, but he yelled something about Marciano, jumped on the guy, ripped off his motorcycle helmet, and revealed himself for the world.
Dude, it's so fucking silly.
But they were utilizing the Swayze method.
Yeah.
As they must.
As they must.
You know, he was like, whoa. They jumped on the guy and he was like, hey, fuck you, tell me all the details. And that's what happened.
Hey, fuck you, tell me all the details.
That's what he said to Silver Strider. And then he found out all the details. And then he went to the place and the band was in too deep. They zeroed in on their target and they executed Marciano. The end. That's what happened, right?
Yes.
That's the Swayze method, if I've ever heard of it.
Yeah, I liked that Swayze was utilizing the Swayze method this early.
Yeah, it's crazy.
He really, I really liked his whoa when he just jumped on that guy.
Well, that made me say whoa.
Yeah, I know. Don't that was the that. Whoa moment. That He's, was the whoa moment.
No, that.
That was the whoa moment.
Just factually it.
He's like, I'm going to do it.
And then he did it.
He didn't even think about it. He just like sprung into action. And
then
that was
interesting because then after he had tackled fucking Silver Strutter, whatever the fuck his name is.
Silver Strider?
Silver Strutter is better.
Strutter? Honestly. Silver the Striker.
They were just having a normal conversation and then I feel like out of nowhere he was like, ah! And then he just...
He's like, you're a cop! I'm not gonna tell you anything! Well, we're gonna put you in the sidecar!
Yeah, anyways.
And then Swayze is like driving around to the side, putting this guy up in the air.
Doing wheelies and shit.
It was crazy. You shouldn't do that.
No.
Well,
no,
that was the sick whip in question. The motorcycle with the sidecar.
Yes, it was.
They did no road trips.
Mm-mm.
Road trips don't exist. They're only they only have so much jurisdiction.
Yeah, they are cops after all.
Yeah, and Marciano specifically was not even allowed to leave the police station until he just did.
Mm-hmm.
And no one stopped him?
He like pointed up and everybody just went with him.
Maybe because he's in charge.
I guess.
Up like, you know, he's above them in rank. Just like, you know, the chain of command. How does this show rank against other cop shows? It's weird.
Yeah.
That's for sure. We'll come back to that. Dad stuff. We've got two dads. We got Kurtwood Smith and we got Marciano. But I guess we also got Tony Gunn and Bandit. All is different sorts of dads.
I think the two cops were good dads.
Yeah, Kurtwood Smith turned out to be a good dad in the end, didn't he? I
think that Tony was a bad dad. Because he was just like...
Abusive.
Abusive and shitty and just trying to manipulate Tracy once she became sat in coma.
But what about Bandit? Is he a good dad?
I don't think so.
Because, like, there's that one point at which Gaucho is like, this shit's dangerous. We could actually die. And he's like, yeah, but think of the stories we would tell. That's bad dad behavior.
That is bad dad behavior.
Okay, well, those are the bad dads that we have. Okay, so you're saying cops are good and criminals are bad dads? That's what you're saying, Vince?
I'm saying in this situation is what happened.
That sounds like propaganda to me. So we got it. What about class stuff? I don't think this show had anything to do with class.
Not in this episode.
We had the fighting, but I didn't see any knives. Did you see some knives?
No.
Okay, feats of athleticism. How about that?
That one girl did kick Dragon's ass.
Oh, dude, yes.
She did.
What was her name?
It was it. Like...
Mimi?
Pixie.
Pixa?
Pixala or something.
Pixa. Yep, she was pretty good at fighting.
And Swayze, like I said, jumped and tackled someone off of a motorcycle.
That was pretty cool. But no dancing.
He also avoided getting hit by a car.
What are you talking about?
I just
about?
Tried to say no dancing, and then I thought of
Eagle was dancing up a goddamn storm, man. No, he was like...
No nudity, even if there was that really disgusting shot that was just from the floor to the head of Tracy. Did not particularly care for that.
The show might have lasted longer if we at least got some side boob in that scene.
Right?
Oh, tempt him. I don't know. That thing, like, that might be too salacious for 1982 or whatever this was. 1983.
What about the romance? Did we see any that we believed?
Well, the only romance was between Tony and Tracy, and it was a sham, first of all.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't believe it, but he believed it, so I guess that counts for a half a point?
Okay. If you are,
there was a kiss. Why his other girlfriend was down in the seats below.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was pretty... Yeah, I mean, undercover romance can give us a half a point. We
undercover
usually don't
romance.
Function on half points. But maybe if she would have stayed longer, she would have fallen in love, you know?
Maybe.
Maybe she would have had to apologize, be like, I am a cop.
You know? I'm not Satin Coma.
Well, she is. She invented Satin Coma, so Satin Coma.
I am a police officer.
There you go. Okay, so that's the right number of syllables.
I am a snitch.
Yeah, I'm a snitch and a police officer. Okay, what about the genderisms? Did we get any positive masculinity?
No.
No, I agree. Marciano was so angry. I love when they're like, you can't leave. And he just like, and he just tosses his coat. So stupid. And feminism. See, the only argument I can make towards feminism in this is that there is the scene where Dragon and Pixa are fighting.
And she kicks...
She's kind of kicking his ass, but then like when he like holds her down, like he seems like he's letting his ass get kicked.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Because he doesn't want to fight a woman. But it's not too often that a man and a woman engage in physical combat on television or in movies.
Mm-hmm.
Just doesn't happen that often. But ultimately, Madison, you're the woman in the room. Does this have feminism?
I would say no, I guess. I don't know.
Remember when I was like, Tracy, just have some lines. Say
no,
something.
No, exactly. And I made the joke it was before women could have lines.
Yeah. You know, I think that the old, what was her name? The one who didn't go to jail?
The money woman?
The money lady? Yes, the money lady. She had some good lines and some good acting, but she never talked to another
woman.
Cynthia. She never talked to another woman. I could not. If you weren't here, we couldn't possibly give it feminism either, I don't think. So what do we've got? We've got horses. We've got dad stuff. We've got class stuff. We've got fighting. But no knives. We've got athletics, but no... But yes, dancing. I'm sorry. I don't know why I'm refusing to give it dancing.
I don't know why you're refusing to give it dancing either.
We've got sick whips. And we've got half a point for romance. So that means, if I'm not mistaken... We have a 6.5, you know, undercover bandmates plus one bonus ska band.
Man, that was a mouthful.
On our patented Swayze scale.
Good.
Well, it was a mouthful.
I'm happy.
6.5 bonus bandmates, that's not that big of a mouthful. Plus one bonus ska band. Now, that's a mouthful.
That is a mouthful. If you have a mouthful
of anything,
write in. We have an email. It's swayzepod@gmail.com. We've got social medias at swayzepod. Josh is on Letterboxd at Joshua CY, and I'm on Letterboxd at Vincent Troia. Madison, do you have anything that you'd like to promote, or would you like to tell the people where to find you?
No, it's cool.
private citizen.
Oh, yeah.
Well, my favorite.
We appreciate you coming on to watch The Renegades with us. We hope that this inspires you to contact the DVD lady and maybe get you your own.
She sounds sweet.
It's the best. She's the coolest. I could only hope that more people experience her.
I came here for only one reason, so nobody else would get hurt. But you and your nut friends here are going right back where you belong, in a padded cell, Tony. You see, a padded cell.